Yeah, I kind of go, whew. You know, you don't have Joanne here, and you realize, oh my gosh, she does a lot. You know, she puts a lot of this stuff together. How are we gonna pull this off? Singing, and I thought about maybe I would lead you, bring my guitar in here, and no, we're not gonna do that. So thank you for your patience on that. You got to sing a little Brad Paisley there, that last one. Did you catch that? That's who sang that song a little bit different. We get to sing a little bit differently, but boy, we miss Joanne. We got to be a little creative next week as well. She'll be gone then, but we will get it figured out. So thanks for that. We are talking about faith, hope, and love. We're talking about a passage that Paul writes about called the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. We've been talking about this for 3 or 4 weeks, and we are trying to talk about these words a little bit about what is faith and what is hope and what is love. We took the easier one, well, maybe not the easier one, but we took love first, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, and we learned that this kind of love that Paul is talking about here is, it's a different kind of love. We use the word a lot of different ways, but this love that he's talking about comes from God. It is from him, and this love is less of a feeling kind of love that we would have, you know, that warms your heart. It's not that kind of love, nor is it a romantic kind of love that couples would share together. This is different. This agape, the Greek word love, is different. And it's, I like this definition here. This love is determined by our will, and it's a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above our own. It's about loving God, and it's about loving people. And it's rooted in Christ, and we love by following his example. And a passage here from John says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And we talked about love a lot, the heart of who we are as a people. And last week we talked about the word faith and believing, and what does that mean? What does it say to say we are a people of faith? And it's more than just mentally agreeing with a statement or aligning yourself with a certain philosophy or a religion or even a denomination or local church. It's more than just a mental assent or an intellectual agreement with something. The biblical understanding of faith and of believing is there's an action component. There is a change. There is a doing that is part of believing. It's movement in your life, a change that is happening. And we talked last week about, you know, faith is this way that allows us to connect with something outside of the physical. It allows us to connect to the big picture, the spiritual realm that is most real. It is the real reality that we will one day have a hold of and see most clearly. But right now we walk by a faith, and we listen by faith, and we obey, and we confess, and we repent, and we change our lives based on faith that is strengthened by the Spirit. A couple of passages that we have that help us wrap our minds around faith a little bit. From Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we walk by faith and not by sight. That was the last couple weeks we talked about faith and we talked about love. And each of those words, they're so deeply packed and they are so rich and they have so much in them. And I hope that we're not, you know, I hope that we're not just mentally thinking about these terms and we're getting a little bit more robust definition of what they really are and what they mean. But I hope that we are feeling the Holy Spirit move us, that we are becoming people that love truly, and we are being a people that really walk by that faith, that we're doing. Our lives are centered upon what we say we believe. And then we want to be people that are about hope. In 1 Peter, one of my favorite passages says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. I like that. That's just a good passage because, well, golly, if somebody's going to ask, then they must see something. They must see something in you. This hope must become evident for them to ask. And then at that point, be prepared to share the love of Christ with them. Be prepared to give the reason for the hope. There's our third word, hope. What's hope? How do you define hope? A few weeks ago, I was watching Shawshank Redemption. Anybody see that movie? It's an older movie. It's a good movie. I always hate to say, you know, that, because then you think, oh gosh, the pastor's recommending a movie. And then I went back and watched it. And there's some stuff in there you don't want kids to see because it's, you know, so qualify, you know, you guys run that through your filter there. But the scene I want to show you here, Andy and Red are in prison. I think it's probably in the 30s or the 40s. And Andy's in here because he's been wrongly accused of some stuff. And he just got in trouble because he got music out and he played music for all of the inmates when they're out in the yard. And he played this beautiful symphony for these people to hear. And they weren't supposed to do that. He got in trouble. So he gets thrown in the hole for a week because of what he did. And he's just coming back out of the hole where he's been in this confinement for such a long time. And this idea of hope comes up. Let's take a look at this.
Mr. Mozart, if you may come.
Oh, no. We'll wing it. Can you go to the next slide later if we need it? Here's the scene. He comes back and he sits down and they say, how was it in there? And he said, it wasn't bad at all. Easiest week I ever spent in my whole life. I said, how was that? And he said, I had Mr. Mozart right here. And they go, what are you talking about? He said, well, I've got that inside of me. Haven't you ever felt that way about music? He says. He said, yeah. I said, this is about this thing that is inside of me that you can't take away. They're inside prison. And of course, everything's been taken away from that. And these guys are all sitting around, and Morgan Freeman, who plays Red, says, what are you talking about? You're nuts. What are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about hope. Hope. Something that's beyond these, he says, these concrete walls and the guards and all this stuff that's here. It's hope. This is where hope makes the most sense. And Morgan Freeman, who had been in prison all his life, essentially, looks at him, he points his fork at him, and he says, you better be careful. Hope. Hope is a very dangerous thing, and he gets up and he walks away. It angered him for him to talk about hope. Hope is a dangerous thing. It was a dangerous thing for a guy that had been locked up in prison for such a long time. They were confined in this place, limited by, you know, bars and block walls and guards and all these limitations that happens when you are imprisoned. And they had nothing to look forward to. Nothing more than what they could see. Nothing more than what their limitations had. They lost all hope. Red, Morgan Freeman character, he had a fear of what was on the outside. And so he was kind of in this denial thing and just didn't want to have any hope because that was just going to cause him problems. It was dangerous. Hope was a dangerous thing. But for Andy, it was everything. That was what kept him going. It was what he looked forward to and made him get the most out of every day. A different view on what hope is. From scriptures, from the book of Romans, is where I selected a passage here that we could begin to unwrap a little bit about what hope means for us followers of Christ. Paul writes in chapter 8, he says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hope, something we don't have yet, but we wait patiently for that. A good idea, a good passage that Paul writes about to begin us to think about more deeply the word hope. There's a phrase that's used when people talk about God's kingdom quite often, that God's kingdom is something that is already, and there's parts of God's kingdom that is already, and there are parts of God's kingdom that is not yet. There are elements of being under the rule and reign of God right now in the way that we operate here in this here and now. And yet there is things about his kingdom that have yet to be realized that will happen one day. And I think hope, I want to look at hope that way because I think that there is hope in something yet that we have not realized. It is the hope of the not yet. But there also is a hope that affects us today that we can realize now. And we're going to talk about hope in those two aspects here. That's hope in the not yet probably is the easier one here. This hope, this passage that we talked about here, this hope of this not yet, this hope of something that is going to come. If we back up just a little bit in that Romans passage, Paul says this, all of creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage of decay. You know, that's wild. All of creation is hoping for something, not just humans, but subhuman stuff too. Rocks and trees and things, they're all part of this fall, this messed up, not what it's supposed to be intended, experience that we're in. Hope for something to happen. Hope for this one to make the realization happen. So many other passages. I could put scores of them up here. I just listed them here, but let me just run through them real quickly from some from Matthew, talking about this thing that is yet to come. It is the return of our Lord and Savior Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels. He's coming. He's coming back. That is our hope. In chapter 24 and 27, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, our hope, this hope that He is coming. Chapter 24 and 30, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. He's coming, and He's coming with power and great glory. Glory. A passage we use an awful lot of times at funerals comes from John chapter 14. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make this place, this mansion for you. And if I say I'm going to go do that, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you to take you to be with me. He's coming back. Our hope. Our hope. In Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. We spoke on this several months ago. Our citizenship, we're not citizens of the United States or Whitley County. We're citizens of heaven. We eagerly await a Savior. He will transform our lowly bodies so they can be like His glorious body. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And in 1 Thessalonians, you've heard this one a lot. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Our hope, He's coming back. He's coming back. That is our hope, to bring this experience, this as you and I are human beings, to an end, and to take us to this new form, this new realm. That is our hope. And you know, this idea of having a transformed body, you know, I'm 56 and I'm looking forward to this. You know, we're doing some wood cutting here a little bit and I'm finding joints and muscles I didn't even know I had screaming at me, you know, and it's starting to break down. You know, these things are wearing out. I'm going to have a new body and it's going to be good. I'm going to ruin it with pie. Look forward to that. He is coming back and we sing about it. You know, this is the songs we sing. The songs I picked here is about that. You know, in the sweet by and by, we'll meet on that glorious shore. That's this thing that's going to happen. And some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Right? It's about this hope. Amazing grace, you know, one of those verses, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the stars, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun, right? Hope. Hope of His return. And the third verse there of one of those songs, we sang, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the skies be rolled back as a scroll, remember? For the trumps shall resound and the Lord will descend, even so it is well with my soul. Hope, these songs, we sing them over and over again, but that is our great hope. He's coming back. And that is the great hope that is not yet. Some say they know exactly when and why and how He's going to return. You know, we've got things popping up on the internet all the time. September 23rd, 2017, Jesus is coming back. You know, everybody's got it all figured out. I'd say they're delusional. We just don't know. We don't know exactly when and why and how, but we do know that he is coming, and it could be soon. It could be soon. There are signs that sure point to times that this may be the time for the return of our Lord. Doom and gloom for us? No, that ought to energize us as a church. We ought to be jacked up about the notion that he's coming back, and what can we do to get more people to come to know him and to love him as well. It's yet something not realized, this hope. It's something that is great to come. What would that mean for us? What would it mean if our lives were more fully centered around that hope of the return of our Lord? It's so easy to get stuck in the here and the now and not look at big picture kinds of things. It's tough to do that. Example I would use here is I was fortunate to be able to coach my kids in football and Little League and basketball and stuff, and I learned a lot about parents when I coached these little kids, because you talk about people that, maybe delusional is too strong a word, but at least have kind of lost track of the big picture. You know, it was kind of neat to sit back and watch kind of how some parents or grandparents behave a little bit when it's their child or grandchild that's performing. For you all know that if that 9-year-old girl that your granddaughter's guarding thinks about moving her pivot foot, you know, people are out and the veins are sticking out and you're calling that referee everything, but you know, it's ugly what we can do as parents and grandparents. You get lost. The refs, they got it all wrong. You know, you hear that after the game. Well, the refs were terrible. They were out to get us. You know, the coach hates my kid. That's why he's not playing. You know, the whole game's rigged. My kid ought to be in the NBA. You know, it's phenomenal what we do because, you know, why is that? Well, we do. It's easy when it's your loved ones, your kids that are playing, because you only are thinking here in Little League. You're not looking at the big picture. Likewise us, it's easy for us to get wrapped up in all that we do and our work and our relationships here instead of thinking about this great hope that we have that is not yet realized. We get stuck in the minors. We get stuck in Little League. So that's the hope. That's the hope of the not yet. The hope that we have to look forward to, the great Christian hope of who we are, that we look for the return and the culmination that Christ will bring when he returns. But there is another hope as well, and I call this the hope of the already. And I've got a short list up here that we can begin to think about, things that will come before Christ returns, the things that we can hope for as followers of Christ and in this body, things that we can hope for. God loves us now. How long will that hope endure? Well, forever. He loves me in spite of the way I acted to that referee. You know? He still loves us, and he is here with us now. He promised that. That is our hope for this here and now, that his presence is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We are being transformed into his likeness. That's a hope for me. I know who I am. I'm a jerk. You know, I just have jerk stuff in me, but I'm being transformed in his likeness, and that's a part of this hope that I have, that as I come to act on my faith, as I get into this, and I get into prayer, and I come to know who it is that I am supposed to be like, I'm being transformed. And I have hope in that now, that I'm being changed in his likeness. I'm very hopeful about how his kingdom is growing here. Not the one that's going to come in the sweet by and by, but this kingdom, this here and this now. We baptize people into this kingdom to grow, to be sons and daughters of his adoption that we talked about. And we're bringing more people into that same baptism, that his kingdom would grow. There are things that we have that we can hope for in this here and in this now, or in this already. You know, as I go back to that awesome Shawshank Redemption video that I just showed you. Sorry about that. We knew we were going to have trouble. We had all kinds of videos, but we made it pretty far. So go rent that movie and you can see it. Just don't show it to your kids. But I got thinking about that, and you know, this Andy character, he was centered around that hope, and that's what kept him going to see this situation that he was wrongfully accused through. But Red, on the other hand, was just without it. He was without hope. He chose to live simply within the limits that he had, the walls, the concrete, the guards, the rules, and the lack of freedom. Anything else he would have called dangerous. And I don't think we're that much different than those guys that are in prison. Because I think we are in a form of prison here because we're bound by these bodies that are deteriorating. And I know that. I can feel it after we've, you know, it's starting to deteriorate. And I know that this body's going to shut down one day. It's going to break. It's going to die. That's a reality. That's part of this prison that I'm in. Part of the limits that I have. We have relationships that no doubt are going to disappoint us and break our hearts. That's part of this prison. And there is death and there is suffering. It's a different kind of prison, but that's this reality that we were in. And we, like Red, can take an attitude of denial and have no hope. Or we can look beyond that. We can look and live our lives knowing that there is a great hope yet to come. So where is your hope? Where's your hope? Is your hope found in Christ Jesus? And then is that being lived out in your faith? Is it being lived out in the way you love and relate with other people? And are people asking you then, as we found in 1 Peter, to give you a reason for the hope that you have? It is always good to come together as this body of believers and worship together. And I thank you for doing just that. Would you stand, and we will close with prayer, and we will be on our way.